To welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Sorry, allergies have got me. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church. Our special music this morning is brought to us by Jessica Helton.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. I will adore You, Yeshua Mashiach, Holy Spirit fire, Holy Spirit fire. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. I will adore You. I lay myself before You. Holy, 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 mighty King. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, breath of living water. You're such a marvelous mystery. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You.
Thank you. Our scripture this morning is from Mark 5, 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by a boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was at the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at His feet and pleaded earnestly with Him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put Your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around Him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And when the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he told the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha akum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Our sermon this morning by Pastor Angel Abishar is "The Healing Touch."
Amen. Thank you, Jesse. That was a beautiful song, and we'll look forward to one more song after prayer, before the song that is in the bulletin. When I first signed up to be an organ donor, on your driver's license, you can check a little box saying that you will be an organ donor. I remember I went and I asked my doctor, what organs are they likely to harvest? And he named several, which made sense to me. But then he told me something that I had not realized. Our skin is the largest organ in our body. It is the one that we most connect with others to. These are pictures of the light of my life, my son. He is the one who led me to the Lord. When he would offer testimony in the church after church camp, there was not a dry eye in the house. After he passed, people came out of the woodwork to tell me that he had led them to the Lord. This is a medal that he was given. I have one, and both of his sons do, for the gift of organ donation. Unfortunately, he had been without oxygen too long after his accident for the major internal organs. But with his gift of eyes and skin and bone, he drastically changed 19 lives. I fully believe that the gift of touch in and of itself is healing. I have said for years, if you read all of the miracle stories, all of the healing stories, our Lord Jesus Christ touched almost every single person that he healed prior to healing them. He touched them. Touch represents acceptance. I see you, I know you, I care for you. Touch also brings comfort. It is said that we need at least 10 hugs a day. Many people do not have someone that does hug them. During this whole COVID time, it has been so difficult for me because I so strongly believe in touch being a way to communicate to someone, I accept you, I care about you. I couldn't touch people during this point in time. But I do believe in hugging people. And you know, we've got all kinds of different hugs. The side hug that we do sometimes isn't a really great hug, but it is still a way of communicating that you care about the person. And sadly, in this day and age, we kind of need it. Then there's the A-frame hug, where you both kind of touch foreheads and do this, but you're not really touching anything else. Oh, and then there's a chest burp hug. You bump and your chest connect, but then you pat the person on the back of the back like they were a baby and you're burping them. People are uncomfortable sometimes with touch, and I totally understand that. I try to ask people before I touch them. The passage of Scripture that is before us contains two instances in which I have something to say about touch. Jesus has just stepped off the boat after crossing the Sea of Galilee when a man by the name of Jairus, the president of the local synagogue, approaches Jesus and begs him to come to his house to heal his very sick daughter, Jairus. Jesus agrees to, and as he is making his way through the streets, there are tons of onlookers. There are people crowding around him from every direction. And then he stops dead center and says, "Who touched me?" His disciples say, "Rabbi, Rabbi, so many people are gathered around you. Everyone is bumping into you and touching you. How can you say, who touched me?" And he says, "No, this touch was deliberate. I felt the power leave me." The woman with the issue of blood so believed that just touching Jesus would heal her that she crept out there. Now you have to realize, this woman for 12 years has been disgraced and shunned by everybody in the community. For when she is in this state, she is not even allowed in public. She is considered unclean. She has done everything within her own power to resolve this situation. So she breaks tradition, comes out into public, and gets down through the crowds and grabs the hem of Jesus' garment. And then she boldly and bravely claims that she is the one who touched him. She could have left. She felt within herself that she was healed. She could have shied away and not owned up to being the one who touched him. But she said, "It was I." And he gently looked upon her and he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." He proceeded on after that, and someone came to them and said, "There is no need for you to continue, Rabbi. Jairus' daughter has died." And he went first to Jairus, and he said, "No, no, no, no. She is only sleeping. Trust and believe. Trust and believe." And when he got to Jairus' daughter, he said, "Arise, child, stand." And she did. And everyone was in awe of what he had done. But our Lord and Savior, he didn't care about acolytes. He didn't care about people gathering around him and saying how wonderful and mighty he was. What he cared about was the human need of each and every person. From the moment that we enter this world to the moment that we exit this world, touch is an important thing. There is a medical group in Syracuse, New York, that has proved the difference in people being able to heal. The people who had loved ones who came to visit, who touched them, who hugged them, who rubbed their arms. When I am with somebody who is getting ready to cross over, who is getting ready to go into the arms of Jesus, I am certain to touch them. It has been said that hearing is the last sense to go. But touch is the one that they will feel even when they are unconscious. In his book, Caring, Feeling, and Touching, Sidney B. Simon, a teacher at the University of Massachusetts, speaks of skin hunger felt by all. It is a deep-seated need for touch. Being touched in a tender and caring way can be healing and therapeutic all on its own. I love the saying, touch and agree. When you pray, you touch and agree. I take people's hands when I pray so that they can feel me. Frequently, God will tell me to go and touch a person. I wish that it was all the time. I wish that I could just stand and do that. If that were so, I would walk through Children's Hospital and touch every single one of them. But at times my Lord tells me to go touch someone, and he has shown me often. I see them walking and I know where they're in pain and I know what's going on. And whether they are cured of the cancer or whatever ailment they have, after God has asked me to do that, I have seen a great difference. For me to step out there and try to do it on my own would be disastrous. I can only do it when our Lord says to. I believe so much in the laying on of hands. That is how the power of Jesus has been transferred from apostle to disciple, from bishop to preacher. I only went to sixth grade. I didn't go to junior high. I didn't go to high school. I took my GED when my oldest was a year old. I was 16. I have several degrees in my office. They mean nothing to me other than my Lord got me through. What does mean something to me is when I was commissioned, I came before Bishop Mike Coyner. And he and others laid hands on me, and I have a certificate that goes all the way back to John Wesley, from John Wesley to Bishop Coyner to me, where hands have been laid on. And Bishop Coyner said to me, go thou, take authority. When I was ordained, our bishop now, Julius Trimble, laid hands upon me. And when we're ordained in the Methodist Church, we are allowed to have two elders who mean so much to us, to come and lay hands on me. I had my mentor, my spiritual father, the one where I walked into his church 30 years ago and knew nothing of God. And he has now become the one who has taught me more of Jesus than anyone ever can or will. And then I had the pastor of the first church that I did my internship with come and lay hands on me. They all laid hands on me and transferred the power of the Holy Spirit into me. And I believe strongly in that. I disrupt our services at times so that we can have someone touch a blanket or touch a person. Because I believe in and of itself that can be healing. There are people who believe that just touching Jesus' garments could be healing of them. You know, I think of the hugs. There was a woman that I watched in a diner one time, sat beside this man who I later came to find that he ate breakfast out all the time. And this particular morning, this lady slipped behind him and sat there, and they began a discussion. Me sitting over by myself at the table, I couldn't help but hear it. She led into the power of touch and how hugs were so important. And he said, I don't remember the last time someone hugged me. I know it's been over a decade. That just broke my heart. She got up and wrapped her arms around him and hugged him. He felt so energized. I saw him a week later. He said, that changed my life. I felt accepted. I felt loved again. I started going to hug others. Kayla gives me hugs, and I love those hugs. Those hugs do give me strength and courage, girl. I absolutely love them. And she tells me, last night she gave me a hug, and she said, now you will sleep well, and you can wait for the one that you have in the morning. She understands the power of touch. I absolutely love this passage. Andy Rooney points out that the different types of hugs, the A-frame hug, the chest-to-chest burping hug, are not what we need. It is a full-body hug. Now, today we have to be cautious with those that we don't know well. Sadly, that is true. I can remember at my home church, which is a big church in Grant County, when my friend Leanne Holthouse took on the position of Children and Family Ministries. She followed a man who had been there for 7 years and was so loved. So when we got ready for VBS, I said I would do the major training, the ones that nobody really likes, because that way they entered in with her in love. So I did all the trainings. I taught about not hugging the kids, doing the side hug, all of this stuff. And the first day of VBS, a child about 6 years old came running down the aisle, jumped into my arms and hugged me. And the staff pastor parish chair happened to be standing next to me and said, oh, I see. Do as I say and not as I do, huh? He laughed it off. And so did I. A child needs hugs. They need touch. It communicates more to them than any words we could possibly ever say. So I still hug children. I make sure someone else is in the room with me when I do it. But I will never stop hugging, holding hands, and loving a child. Her daughter, Maggie, loves to come up wherever I am in town and just starts to hold my hand. And then she tells Mom. Mom says it's time to go. She says, no. I haven't held Angel's hand. I need to hold her hand for a few minutes. There are other ways, instead of touch, that we can communicate love. My unabridged dictionary uses 25 words that goes past the tactile experience. They include both words of love and words of those who do not have it. Inspire, impress, move, affect, contaminate, stir to pity, and so forth. Music is another form of being touched. We are touched deeply. Those of you who have the gift of music, Joyce, we have those people, not me, because I don't have it. That's why Mark turns me off all the time. The right and the left brain cross hemispheres. It is a changing experience. When I go into a nursing home anywhere, I see the power of music to deeply touch and affect people. Often I have come in and gone to someone and asked their name, and they can't even tell me their name at that moment. And after we get to singing the hymns, and I see someone who was totally unengaged. Their eyes were blank. They were looking down. They were not present. I see them singing that song completely and fully. And at the end of the service, they can then tell me their name. They can then tell me who they are and what is important to them. Music awakens something in us. It touches something deeply inside of us. We all have our various different preferences to music, but any form of music can stir joy in us. We have been touched by the heritage of our faith. We have been touched by those who have gone before us in this church, those who have built this church. We have been touched by those who have developed our faith, the apostles, the one who did the Nicene Council, the one who came up with all of our creeds, the ones who have poured themselves into Christianity. Norm Lawson shows us that heritage is indeed passed on. In 1858, a Sunday school teacher named Mr. Kimball led a shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. That clerk's name was Dwight L. Moody. Moody became an evangelist in England and in 1879 awakened the heart of Frederick Meyer, a pastor of a small town church. Pastor Meyer came to America, and while preaching on a college campus one day, won J. Wilbur Chapman to Christ. Chapman became a YMC worker and picked up a former baseball player to do some evangelistic work. That player was Billy Sunday. At a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, Sunday was so excited to meet with a group of local men. They engaged Mordecai Ham to come to their town. In a revival with Mordecai Ham, a young man heard the gospel and yielded his life to Christ. His name was Billy Graham. And how many thousands have been touched by Billy Graham? I absolutely adore the song by Ray Bolt, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord," in which Ray Bolt pictures a Sunday school teacher going to heaven, and all the people that he touched throughout his life are there saying, "Thank you for giving to the Lord." The scripture passages that we are considering this day remind us that touching people can cost us something. Jesus was aware that the power had gone out of him. At Jairus' house, Jesus was laughed at, but he did not care. We each will have a price to pay too. They say with writing that 10% is inspiration and 90% is perspiration. And I'll have to say that I agree with that. In sermon writing, I get inspired by something. I jot it down somewhere. And then I have to sit and study and study and then try to scratch out. And I get here on Sunday morning and I do that again. I try to whittle it down so that it is not so long. Helen Hayes, First Lady of Theater, participated in a television commercial years ago in which she reminded us that good acting involves a cost to the actor. Remember, she said that when we speak of acting, we say that the actor gave a fine performance. Those who truly touch us, whether they are actors, writers, doctors, or preachers, give deeply of themselves. This is so true. I am reminded of Father Damien. My baby girl lived in Molokai, the Friendly Isle, the leper island. It is still considered that. There is still a colony of people with Hansen's disease down deep in the isle. And there are churches all over that Father Damien started. He had such love for the lepers that he bound their wounds. He preached to them. He touched each and every one. He cared for them. He knew the risk. And then one day he stood before them and said, "We who are lepers." Now, beloved, I'm not asking you to pay the price and the cost of touching someone with leprosy, with COVID, with anything else. But if we are to deeply touch people and change their lives, thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us prayer. It's going to cost us taking down that wall of professionalism, that guarded wall that keeps us safe, and getting to know people and becoming vulnerable before them. I believe fully that that is what our Lord has done for each and every one of us. When we often are doubtful, I challenge you to remember it is a wonderful life, which continues to get replayed even now, every Christmas. A man who is about to lose his business, his savings, all that is important to him, wants to take his own life. But his guardian angel appears on the scene and he will not let him take his own life. Rather, he says, okay, you wish you had never been born? We'll make that so. And then the man walks through his hometown and sees all the lives that are so changed from the stories that he knows. His brother has died in an accident because he was not there to save them. Others have perished from hunger because he has not given them food. He has done so much in his town to change the lives of people with simple daily acts, that after seeing what the town is like without him, he decides, I don't care how painful my life is, I want to go back to it. I desire to continue to live. I absolutely adore Jeremy Camp's Healing Hand of God. I have seen the many faces of fear and pain. I have watched the tears fall plenty from heartache and strain. So if life's journey has you weary and afraid, there is rest in the shadow of his wings.